Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the freedom of the Christian. And last week, we talked about the role of good works, namely that they are the fruit of our faith. And we heard words like this from Jesus in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom, but those who do, he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. For many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of evil.' Everyone who then hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rains came and the floods came and the winds beat against that house, and it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." And so, the seed is the gospel, right? That's the freedom of the Christian. We're saved by faith apart from works, but then we are saved for good works. That's the fruit. So let's take a look at some fruit here. One seed will produce a whole lot of fruit, right? And after that sermon, I had someone come up to me from the congregation and say, it raised some questions for him. And actually, he was a little troubled about a few things, and I asked his permission to share them with you because they're great questions. I'd like to handle them today. First of all, he said, what are the fruits, though? What am I supposed to do? What works does God want me to do? Secondly, he said, and by the way, Pastor, I'm old. I'm out of energy. I don't have the strength of my youth. How can I do these works? And then thirdly, he says, besides, I'm also very troubled because when I look at my life as a whole, especially my youth, my bad deeds seem to outweigh my good. And that really troubles me. And I asked his permission to share, and so I'm sharing with you now. And I'd like to handle those questions in this sermon because I think they're probably questions we all might be asking from that sermon. And those are good questions. So let's take a look then. What works does God want us to do? How can we do them when we're old? Right? And what about when our bad seems to have outweighed our good? What does God say to us about that? Well, first of all, God says to us, "You've heard rightly, my children. I am looking for fruit from you. I am looking for good fruit to come on your branches." And for example, let's take a look at this again. It's a well-known verse. Ephesians 2, it says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this isn't your own doing. It's the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast." So what's that? That's the seed, right? That's the freedom of the Christian, saved apart from works. Next verse, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." In other words, God's looking to get some return. He puts the seed in, he's looking for some fruit out, right? We are saved for good works. And in Titus, Paul says, "For by grace, the grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all men, training us to renounce irreligion and worldly passions and to live sober, upright, and godly lives in this life, awaiting our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds." So, why don't you say that out loud? Zealous for good deeds.
Zealous for good deeds.
Are you guys zealous for good deeds? You know, God's planted the fruit, the seed of the gospel in you. Are you zealous to bring forth all kinds? We got like a jug of them up here, right? We got all kinds of fruit. Not just one that pours forth on our branches. So, yes, my children, God says, I'm looking for fruit from you. Let's see how ripe it is. Look at that. Falls right off the tree. That's what's going to happen with us, right? But what works? Well, you know what's amazing about this? Is God's answer is so simple. It's so simple. Really, as I read the Bible, there's just really three things God is looking for in us and from us. Okay, so let's take a look at those and see what God would teach us through the scriptures. Let's look at number one. Let's turn to John chapter 6. Now, in this passage, Jesus has just fed the 5,000 on the hill in the wilderness, right? And then his disciples cross the sea at night in a great storm. And guess who comes walking to them on the sea? Jesus, in the midnight watches. And he gets into the boat. They get to the other side of the sea. And then the next day, the people who are left on the other side, the 5,000 and such, they're like, where'd Jesus go? And they get into the boats, it says, and they got into the boats and went to Capernaum, across the sea, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for in him has God the Father set a seal. Now watch this. Then they said to him, What must we do to be doing the works of God? That's our question, right? What must we do to be doing the works of God? Look at Jesus' answer. He says, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So what's the first thing that God wants us to do? What's the first work? What's the first? To believe, right? To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, is that ultimately something our work or is that God's work? It's really both. I mean, God's the one who creates. He puts the seed in you. He creates faith. He strengthens faith. He sustains faith. But it's also something that we do, right? We're told to hold it fast. In fact, in the Bible, Jesus says in Revelation, I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. Also in 2 Timothy 4, Paul says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have, who knows it? Kept the faith. I have kept the faith. Held fast to belief, right? 1 Corinthians 16, be watchful, stand firm in your faith. Be courageous, be strong. 1 Timothy 1, wage the good warfare, Paul tells Timothy, holding faith and a good conscience. Certain persons, by rejecting conscience, have made shipwreck of their faith, among them Hymenaeus and Alexander, he says. So, is it possible to make shipwreck of your faith and to hold it fast and to keep it? Yes, it's actually God's ultimate work in you to keep you in the faith, but it's also something that we are to do. And what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus says, this is the work of God. Number one supreme work, that you believe in him whom he has sent. To believe in Jesus Christ and to hold fast to faith in him. Isn't that a great work? Is that a hard thing? Yeah, we do fight the good warfare, but it's a delight too, isn't it? To believe is to trust in God. And that really is a delight. Think about, I like to think when Naomi was a little toddler, you know, little tiny girl. I'm actually teaching her to trust in me, right? When she was really small. Did you do this with your children? You take them and toss them a little bit in the air. I remember the first time I did that, and Naomi was like, one of the first times, et cetera, I saw her eyes, you know, terror, alarm. What's happening, you know? And then you catch her, and then she laughs, right? Next time you go a little higher, and she's half and half, and then after a little while, what happens? You know, I'm launching this kid, right? It's like, whoa! And boom, and all the while she's just laughing, giggling. She's learned to what? Trust me, right? To believe, to trust, to rely on me, that I'm going to catch her every time. And that's what God's working in you, just like I was trying to work it into Naomi in our relationship. And this is the work of God for you too, that you would believe, that you would trust in your Savior, in Jesus Christ, that you trust in God, that you believe. Jesus says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Isn't that a delight? That's a wonderful thing. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. And I want to ask you a question. Can you do this when you're young? Come on. Yes, you can. Of course you can, right? Sure you can. Can you do this when you're old?
Yes.
Yeah, that you're not hindered. When you get older and your strength starts to fail, to believe in Jesus Christ is still a delight for you. That's a wonderful, blessed thing. And how do you grow in your trust in God? Well, you hear the word, right? You come to church, you hear it preached. You meditate on it some through the day, each day. And really, ultimately, God says, just walk with me. Just walk with me, and I will raise you up into this trust. I love this line. You probably know it well. Micah 6, it says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what's the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Can you do that when you're old? Just walk with God. Remember, Enoch walked with God, and God took him all the way up to heaven, didn't even have to see death, because he was walking with God. And that's really all, ultimately, God is looking for in us. Believe on me, believe on Jesus, and walk with me. You can do that when you're old, and that means to see him as to trust in him as your Savior, that he loves you, that he's your one and only King, that he's your shepherd, that he's your master, that he's your Lord, that he's your comforter, that he is your deliverer. Can you do this when you're old? Without faith, it's impossible to please him, it says in the scriptures. But Peter says, as the outcome of your faith, you obtain the salvation of your souls because you're receiving the promised salvation in Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. Good first work, right? Let's look at the second thing, God, of the three that he commands us and seeks of us, what fruit on our branches. Here it is. Pentecost. Peter preaches and says, "You killed the Christ," he tells the Jews. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" That's our question, right? Again, what shall we do? And the answer, Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So you tell me, what's number two? Repent and be baptized. Now, is baptism a work that we do for God or God does for us? It's both, really, right? God is here to come and he says, "Here's the second thing I have for you to do. Here's fruit on your branches. Come to me and let me wash you." Isn't that fantastic? Let me wash you of your sins. "Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name," said Ananias to Paul, right? And so God says, and this is just, by the way, a wonderful thing. It's so easy. It's so simple. You don't have to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. You don't have to take a submersible to the depths of the sea. You don't have to win a war and be a hero. God just says, "Come and let me wash you. Be baptized." And that's fantastic. Now, what if you've been baptized? God says, "Now live out your baptism every day." Okay? Do you do this? This is a Luther in his catechism. He said, Martin Luther said this, what we're supposed to do with our baptism is every day take your old nature, right? That old evil Adam inside each one of us, right? Daily drown it under repentance and confessing your sins with all evil desires. Just put it under the water and daily rise, receiving God's salvation. Rise to live a new life as a new man. Can you do that when you're young? Can you do that when you're old? Isn't that fantastic? This is the fruit God's looking for, that you would confess your sins, believe on his son, and have a new life, a wonderful life, a free life. For if we say we don't have sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth isn't in us. But if we confess our sins, God's faithful. He's just. He'll forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A new life. That's the second work. Walk in confessing and believing. Now, unbelievers, hypocrites, don't do this, do they? This is not fruit on their branches. This is fruit on the branches of Christians. And you can do this when you're young or when you're old. So, number one, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hold fast. Number two, be baptized. And then live out your baptism each day. And thirdly and lastly, although I got a few minutes on this, so stay with me. Last thing God wants you to do is this. Love. Isn't that simple? How easy is that? Listen to what Jesus says. John 13. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I've loved you, that you also would love one another. Do you know that the whole Bible can be summed up in that word, love? I mean, Paul says the whole Bible or the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then John the Apostle in his letter, 1 John 4 or 3, he says, this is the commandment, that we should believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Now you tell me, can you do this when you're young? Can you do this when you're middle-aged? Can you do this when you're old? All right. Yeah, you can do this. Again, this isn't complicated. It doesn't require the energy of youth. God's not saying climb Mount Everest. He's not saying swim the North Sea. He's not saying, tackle the Sahara Desert. He's saying just love. And let's talk about that. In fact, does that mean you have to be a pastor? Does that mean you have to be a missionary to Kenya, some sort of professional evangelist? You know, those things all do require a bit of strength, and it is hard when you get older. God says, no, I'm just requiring just love. Love one another. What's that look like? Well, Jesus, of course, you know that story well. In Luke 10, a man was once going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell amongst robbers, highwaymen, thieves. They came and they beat him and left him half dead, having robbed him on the side of the road. Well, a priest comes by, says, I don't want anything to do with that man, and walks on the other way. A Levite comes by and says, I don't want anything to do with that man, and he walks the other way. Then a Samaritan comes along, a stranger, a foreigner, and he sees the man in trouble, and he runs over to him and immediately binds up his wounds and pours on oil and wine. Then he puts him in his own car and takes him to a hotel. Okay, he puts him on his beast, and he takes him to an inn. And then he says, I'll continue to take care, and whatever else there is, here's some money to the innkeeper. Take care of him till I get back, and I'll pay you back. Whatever is necessary, let's take care of this guy. Jesus says, then, which of these three do you think proved neighbor to the man who fell amongst the robbers? What's the answer? The Samaritan, of course. The one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. So that's what it is to love, isn't it? To help your neighbor. And God's not left us in the dark about what that looks like. On that last day when he comes, he says, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. So those are some wonderful things about love that you could do. But let's say, hang on, I'm still too old for those things. I mean, I can't go visiting the prisons and doing all this stuff. Well, if these are too much for you because of your age and energy, I'd ask, are you a husband? Then love your wife. Right? Can you do that? Are you a wife? Respect your husband. No, granted, that may take a lot of energy, right? I was trying to do, you know, like a good deed a day for a while, and still try to do it, but one day I was thinking, how can I love my wife today? And I think I told you this some time ago, but I was just said, here's what I'll do. I'll just get her toothbrush ready in the morning, and I'm leaving, right? And then I said, I'm going to go out and get a little glass of water. I'll go to that little hibiscus tree, right? Get that pretty flower, put it in there, put her toothbrush right on top, and just leave and see what she says, you know? That's what I got at the 8 o'clock service. You know? Right, you know? Maybe a good idea, guys. But you know what? The little things a lot of times are more powerful than the big things when it comes to love. I mean, if you take her on your anniversary on a cruise, she's like, yeah, I deserve this. You better take me out, right? But you do these little things along the way, and she goes, man, wow, he really cares for me. He loves me. And that's what God wants us to do for each other, is to love each other. In fact, in the little things. I had a couple on my boat a little while ago, charter boat, and they were from Canada. They said in their particular province or their part of Canada that they actually have a random acts of kindness day. Have you ever heard of this? And people are going around doing good deeds to each other. And they were at the grocery store, and there was a very, very poor woman in front of them with little children, and a lady ahead of them checked out. Then the poor woman came with her little children, scraping pennies together. Well, they saw the woman ahead of them in line came back, and when it was time for that woman to pay, she paid the poor woman's entire check and said, here, this is a gift. And the woman began crying, the poor woman, and then the woman who paid left with a huge smile on her face. And I want to ask you right now, who left more blessed, the poor woman or the one who gave the gift? Both, but yeah. I mean, love in God, when you're old, maybe you can't be a pastor or a missionary to Kenya or climb Mount Kilimanjaro, but major in the minors. The little things in life are often bigger than the big things when it comes to love. And Jesus says, even if you give a cup of cold water to someone because he's my disciple, you will by no means lose your reward. And this gives God so much delight, doesn't it? I mean, John the Apostle says in his letter, God's commandments are not burdensome. They are fun. Can you say the word fun? I told you some time ago, God helped me to buy a couple little toys for some kids over at the Dollar Tree, poor family. And they were so happy, but I left. It was so fun. It was fun. I had a great time loving these kids. And God's commandments are a delight to us when we do them. And this is all God's asking. Not that you climb Mount Kilimanjaro. Not that you're, you know, you go off to Tanzania. Not that you even build a hospital or be a pastor or move a mountain. Just love other people and walk with me. Just walk with me through life. Do these things in little ways. And God says to old people, and the guy that asked me these questions, he's like, look at around at our congregation. They're old, right? Well, some of us. But you know what God says to you in your days where you're getting more ripe on the vine, right? God says, the righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like the cedar of Lebanon. They're planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of God. And they still bring forth fruit, even in old age. They're ever full of sap and green to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him. You know, old age is no problem for a Christian. You're still bearing fruit because it's God who's with you, the vine, producing the fruit. That's beautiful. Just walk with him. In the little things, love one another. And when this man asked me, but what about, here's the last one, what about my former sins, though? Because when I look at my life, Pastor, it seems like my bad deeds, especially of my youth, outweigh my good. And you know what? God says, you're sounding like my servant David. You sound to me just like when my servant David prayed in Psalm 25. He said, remember not the sins of my youth, right? And my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. And God says to you, I forgave David all his former sins, and I forgive you all your former sins. Thanks be to God. God says, be happy that my salvation is not a balancing act for you between your good deeds outweighing your bad. Your bad deeds, I took them, Jesus took them on the cross. And they are as far removed from you as the east is from the west. This is not a balancing of accounts. This is your sins are forgotten. God says, I don't even bring them to mind anymore. I don't remember these things against you. They don't come to my mind. We're just walking in freedom, my children. You and me, let's walk in a new life and bear fruit, and I'm going to reward you for these. Your bad deeds are gone. Hearken to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who've been born by you, me from your birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age I am he. And to gray hairs I'll carry you. I've made you, and I'll bear you. I will carry you, and I will save you. Oh, that's fantastic. So God says, just walk with me. And when we do, that's when the fruit comes, right? He's the vine. We're the branches. You abide in him. Here comes the fruit. Moses went up on the mountain. And God, it says, when he came down from the mountain, he didn't know that the skin of his face was shining with this heavenly light because he'd been talking with God. The Peter, James, and John went on the mountain with Jesus, and they saw his glory revealed, and they came down. Their faces were shining in a different way because they'd been walking with Jesus. And Paul says of us as Christians that all of us with an unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, walking with him, seeing him, we're being changed from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So check it out. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Look at it right there. The fruit of the Spirit. What God does in you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Just believe, walk with me, and we're going to walk, God says, all the way into my kingdom. I'll take you there, and then with a smile, I will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. You've been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. In Jesus' name, amen.